During this unusual and challenging time, do you find yourself reaching out for anchor principles to hold on to?
In the midst of everyday circumstances, do you wonder if there are guiding practices upon which to build your life?
How important would these guiding principles be in your life?
How significant would these guiding practices be in the ministry of our church?
What biblical values anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church?
Core values, Scripture.
Our scripture today comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul is writing and he says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. We're glad you're here. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm continuing my new series titled Core Values. Whether it's a sports team or a company, a nonprofit or a church, a corporation or a country, the core values of that team, organization, or community make all the difference. As I mentioned last week, when I was a senior in high school, we got a new football coach. Though we'd gone 0-9 the year before, what a bummer that was. Things were different when our new coach came, in large part because of his leadership and core values. We turned it around. We went 7-1 my senior year and on to the state playoffs. I mentioned last week how our coach used a two-word phrase to inspire us to dream big. We believe. Throughout the summer and throughout that season, he'd point to the banner on the wall and call us to believe in ourselves and to believe in our team. Well, for me, the whole experience was a dramatic lesson about the value of leadership, vision, and core values. So over the next several weeks, I plan to lift up a common set of core values. And why? Because core values anchor our everyday discipleship, and they strengthen the ministry of our church. I don't know about you, but often in my experience, vision leaks. It's easy for us to lose focus about what's important as we follow Jesus. My prayer is that this series will stir our hearts and remind us of those core values that anchor our lives and bind us together in love and ministry in our world. Here at Christ Church, we have a mission, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we have a long-term vision too, living the Christ style, loving God, loving our neighbors, and loving ourselves, following in the footsteps of Jesus, being a good Samaritan church, helping people at the point of their brokenness and need. And when we talk about core values, I believe that there are key ideas and practices that keep our discipleship focused and keep our ministry as a church strong. Last week we talked about salvation, the free gift of grace that God offers to all through faith in His Son Jesus. Our need for salvation and the story of God's great love and sacrifice to provide salvation for us is at the heart of the Christian faith. Today I want to talk about another core value, Scripture. In this world of relativity and uncertainty, we declare the Scriptures have authority to speak God's grace and truth in our life. Write authority in the chat. We declare there is a God and God has spoken. Our key text is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In this day of postmodern thought, we have a high value concerning the authority of Scripture. We believe the Scriptures can lead us, guide us, direct us, can change our lives. In fact, we would do well to pay attention to Scripture because in it are the words of life. But as I begin, I'm reminded about another thing that happened during my high school football experience. I mentioned the new banner that our coach put on the wall, We Believe. Well, another thing the new coach did was give us a new playbook. He brought in a whole new offense. It was different from what we had been used to. He said, "Boys, this year at Great Bend High School, we're going to be running the bone. The wishbone." Now, in 1978, I knew college teams that were running the wishbone. OU is one of the most celebrated, but you didn't hear of high school teams doing it. And why? Because the wishbone involved finesse. The wishbone required split-second decision. The wishbone involved reacting to the defense in mid-play. Man, that was going to involve a whole new level of sophistication, especially for quarterbacks. And I was a quarterback. At first, I didn't know if we were going to be able to pull it off. I didn't know if I was going to be able to pull it off. But here's what I learned. Once we learned the plays, once we learned the various options, once we got familiar with things, and that was all about repetition in practice, do it again. No matter what the defense did, if we executed well, we were going to be moving the ball. And you know what? It's the same thing in our discipleship. Once we learn what's in the playbook, the Scriptures, once we learn the various options that it addresses, once we get comfortable with its nuances, no matter what happens in life, we are going to be moving forward toward the goal. We are equipped to face whatever comes our way. That's the power of Scripture, this wonderful gift from God. But I must say up front, there are some arguments against this high value of Scripture. What are some of them? One, the Bible is not reliable. There are many today who would dismiss the Bible, saying it doesn't make sense or it's full of contradictions. And I would say to them, well, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it may contain what seem to be contradictions, but that doesn't mean it's not reliable. I found one website which listed some 143 supposed contradictions, and another website in which Christians provided answers to those same 143 supposed contradictions. As one example, in Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." And then in Matthew 6:3, he said, "When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." One group says that's a contradiction, and another has an explanation. We believe the Scripture is reliable. John Wesley said, "It is sufficient. It contains all things necessary for salvation." And according to 2 Peter 1:3, it provides all we need for life and godliness. Another argument is that the Bible was written by humans. These persons dismiss the notion of God's divine involvement. They are not impressed by the idea that God would communicate with and through human beings. The fact is, the 66 books of the Bible were written by human beings. But that doesn't exclude God from having a hand, a part, a very profound and specific role in the process by the power of the Holy Spirit. Still others might say, well, the Bible is outdated and irrelevant. For some, the fact that these writings are some 2,000 or even 3,000 years old means they really don't have anything to say to us today. They point to all the changes that the world has experienced since the biblical texts were written. Yet, Others might suggest that much of what the Bible addresses hasn't changed over 3,000 years. A sign in a modern office illustrates a bit of what I'm talking about. It read, "This department requires no physical fitness program. Everyone gets enough exercise, jumping to conclusions, flying off the handle, running down the boss, dodging responsibility, passing the buck, pushing their luck." So, there have always been arguments against the high value of Scripture for our daily lives. But what do we believe? How have the vast majority of Christians understood the authority of the Bible? One point Christians affirm is that Scripture is inspired of God. Post inspired in the chat. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul was affirming the common view held concerning the Old Testament. "All Scripture," he said, "is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." But the early church came to affirm that same inspiration of God found in the writings of the Old Testament was found in the writings of the New Testament as well. What do we mean, God breathed? We mean God was intricately involved. God was at work in the process. God used human beings inspired by the Holy Spirit to communicate with us. How do we address those with questions? I think with humility and grace. We have to acknowledge some mystery here. We don't completely understand all there is to understand about the inspiration of Scripture. That's why we're encouraged to expand our understanding of the 66 books contained in the Bible, their authors, their unique settings and contexts, and each author's purpose. There's always more to understand, but even for those just learning, we affirm the words of Scripture are inspired of God for our benefit. That's why Paul declared, "All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Another reason why Scripture is so important to us, the Bible reveals God's will. We believe that God wants to reveal Himself to you and me. God wants us to know who He is and what He's up to. He wants us to know who we are and what we're created for. And God wants us to understand what He would like to see from us and what He is calling us to do. Again, Scripture is the main means God has provided to do just that, apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. Through the stories of God's interaction with others, we find insight concerning our own interaction with God. That's huge. And we understand that the human mind is the place of our biggest battleground. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." God understands the battle for our mind. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to let God's Word renew our mind. Of course, change doesn't happen overnight. Stories told of a man with a nagging secret that he couldn't keep any longer. He went to the priest, and in the confessional, he admitted that he had been stealing building supplies for years from the lumber yard where he worked. "What did you take?" the priest asked. "Enough to build my own house, enough for my son's house, and houses for our two daughters and our cottage on the lake." "This is very serious," the priest said. "I'll have to think of a far-reaching penance for this. Have you ever done a retreat?" "Well, no, Father, I haven't," the man replied. "But if you've got the blueprint, I can certainly get the lumber." Obviously, some more transforming, some more renewing of the mind was needed in that case. Which brings me to a third point. Not only is Scripture inspired of God, not only does it reveal God's will, but the Word of God is also transformational. Not only is God's Word informational, not only does it answer the big questions about life, it's also transformational. It has the power to change us, to renew us, to reform our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." We understand that the Word of God is living and active. It is sharp. It penetrates. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the human heart. It can change us. Post change in the chat. I am always blessed by the stories of persons who have been changed by the power of Christ. I marvel at the testimonies of persons involved in Celebrate Recovery who speak candidly about their victory over terrible hurts, habits, hang-ups through Christ and the 12-step process. It's so amazing how Jesus and the Word of God comforts, convicts, cleanses, confronts, and saves us from sin and self-destruction. One day soon, we hope to relaunch some Celebrate Recovery 12-step groups again. We're talking, praying about it. So, how should we respond to the Scriptures? Do we dismiss the Bible like some? Do we neglect it like many for lots of reasons? Or should we do something different? To you, I would say that if the Scripture is inspired of God, if it does reveal God's will, and if it is transformational, then we should read it regularly. Read it when you're young to guard your heart, your life against worldliness, sin, unrighteousness. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Read it when you are in midlife, that you might have wisdom and stamina to weather the ups and downs, the trials of life. Read the Scripture in the twilight of life, that you might find strength and hope as you look forward to your glorious future inheritance. The Scripture is living and active. When we open it and read it regularly, God can use it to speak truth and life and wisdom into our lives. Secondly, if the Bible is inspired of God, if it does reveal God's will, if it is transformational, then we should study it extensively. The height, depth, and breadth of the Scripture is amazing. We will never be fully able to grasp, understand, or explain it, yet we can spend a lifetime studying it, searching it, talking about it with others, applying it to our own lives. There is a maturity that comes from ongoing study and application of God's Word. It's what Paul was mindful of when he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." As we continue to study the Scriptures, we develop a biblical mindset, a biblical worldview that informs and transforms our lives. From our studies, we're able to apply the truths of Scripture to all aspects of our life. That's when the Bible really comes alive. Finally, if the Bible is inspired of God, if it does reveal God's will, if it is transformational, we should live it passionately. In the end, it's not just about reading it, studying it, but it's about living it with everything we've got. For Jesus, this was all important. That's why he said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Jesus was captivated by the Scripture. He was ruled by it. In Luke 22:42, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was immersed in it. In Matthew 4:4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." he was comforted by it. In Luke 23:34, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember this, Jesus was anchored in the Scripture. We should be too. Amen? Let's pray about that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Though some may be tempted to dismiss it or ignore it, we know better. We know that your word contains for us and for the whole world the words of eternal life. Lord, stir us up to read it regularly, to study it extensively, to live it passionately. And Lord, help us to continue to build our lives upon your word and your many precious promises. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I hope the message spoke to you today. Remember, the Scriptures are God-breathed, inspired, and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience this new life with God through the Word, through faith in Jesus Christ, please contact me. If you've joined us today and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website. You know, giving back is one of the most tangible ways that we can thank God for all that He's done for us. You can use text to give, you can use the app, go to the website, mail in your contributions. And I want to say again, thank you for your generosity during this time. We need your help, your encouragement, and your seeds of faith planted in our ministry. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember, Jesus is the one who came to bring us the words of life. He is the living word. For now, who do you know that needs to hear about this living word of life? The living Jesus Christ.
I got a phone call from the power company trying to sell me a smart thermostat, and I said, "This is a scam. I know that all thermostats are smart."
Why do you think all thermostats are smart?
Well, because they have so many degrees.
October 6th is our first Wednesday event. This month, we'll focus on community missions with T-Town Tacos, a testimony from our monthly community breakfast, and Restore Hope Director, Reverend Jeff James. Join us at 5:30 p.m. for $5 taco plates, or, if tacos aren't your thing, we're packing rice and beans for Restore Hope at 6 p.m. Worship and speakers will follow.
Saturday, October 2nd, from 9 a.m. to noon, Women's Ministry will be hosting a local Fall Fun Day with worship, activities, and fellowship. Breakfast snacks will be available, or you can bring your own. Our desire is to have a great event for women that is safe and comfortable for all. Cost is $15. Please RSVP to Tanya Erickson.
There will be a new 10-week Zoom Bible study beginning Thursday, September 30th at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Jim will help you take a deep dive into the book of 1 Corinthians. Contact Pastor Jim to register.
You can find all this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.
If there was ever a time where the sons and daughters of God needed to rise up in the spirit of Elijah, that time is right now. More and more, people are forgetting who our God is, that He is who He has always declared Himself to be, and He can still do exactly what He said He can do.
God's hand is on you, not just the missionary, not just the pastor, not just the Sunday school leader. God's hand is on you right where He has placed you to be used for His purposes and His glory. Because we operate by the power and the presence and the discernment of the Spirit of God, we should still be able to live in alignment with the promises that our God has declared to us.
Hi, we're Wayne and Sue. It's time for Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child Shoebox.
On Thursday, October 28th, at 6:30 p.m., the church is having a packing party in the gym. The ornaments on the tree outside the sanctuary are for you to select items to donate for the party. There are three baskets for you to drop those items in. We will pack boxes, make notes, and do some artwork for those shoeboxes. There will be something for everyone to do. Please plan on coming. It will be a good time for all.
We hope you will still make your shoebox at home or with your Sunday school. Please include $9 postage for each individual shoebox you make. The party is to increase our number of boxes and to meet some church family we may not know.
For those who do not wish to participate in filling a box or come to the party but still want to donate, you can make a donation of money toward postage of the party boxes and for additional supplies that are not donated. Please make your checks out to CUMC, place shoebox in the memo, and drop in the offering plate.